emergency podcast, the Iowa women's basketball team defeats Goliath, undefeated South Carolina, supposed best player in the country, Aaliyah Boston, and they are on their way to face LSU in the national championship at 2:30 on Sunday. Let's have a natty. Let's go. Make sure we cut the front part of this. Welcome in to the Washed Up Walk-Ons emergency podcast, because the Hawks are going to the national championship.
The national championship.
Do you know how fucking crazy that is to even say? It's
unreal.
I guess the fans won't even hear that yet, because that's coming out on Monday. But in Monday's podcast, we went down an entire rabbit hole of how old you are, how old we are, the BlackBerry, the iPhone, MapQuest, all this fun stuff. I don't know how we got on it, but it was actually a pretty funny podcast, because I just edited and listened to it, and I was laughing my ass off. I've been alive for 28 years, going on 29. And the closest the Iowa Hawkeyes have gotten to a national championship in a, and I don't want to be disrespectful here, but in a major sport, let's call it football, basketball, baseball, women's basketball, and, you know, maybe volleyball. I would say volleyball is growing. I'm not sure where you want to cut that line. Would be us in the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, it's probably close. I mean, the other one that was coming to mind was, wasn't there like back in the one of those like Brad Banks teams? Didn't they go 11-1? Pretty close.
I guess I'm not sure how to, yeah, because of the different systems, I'm not really sure how to rank that, right? That was probably one as well. They played in the Orange Bowl, and I don't know if that was the second best bowl game or the third best bowl game. I know that in 2015, we went into that game against Stanford ranked number 5, I believe.
Yeah.
5 or 6. So I believe, in theory, outside of the playoff, we were the best bowl game that was a non-playoff bowl game.
Yeah.
Right? So we were four, you know, theoretically we were one team away from getting a chance, but, you know, three teams away. The women's field hockey.
We don't have women's lacrosse here.
Not lacrosse. I was mixing lacrosse and field hockey. I was. The women's field hockey team are ballers.
They are.
And they had an unbelievable season last year or 2 years ago, one of them.
Like the past four seasons in a row.
I mean, they've been great. They're consistently like in the top 10, and I don't know if they will be this year or not, but they were ranked number 1 for a while, had won a fuckload of games, beat North Carolina, who was really good. And I think they were making a run to the Natty as well at one point, but I think they got bounced before the semis or maybe in the quarters. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't come around very often if you're a school like Iowa.
No, not at all.
And I think what people, there's a disconnect, because, you know, in the middle of football season, people will be like, well, Kirk Ferentz will never contend for a national championship, you know? But then it's all this like disdain of like, we're not good enough. We'll never get there. We need to do all these different things to get us in contention to make a run at a natty one time, right? And then on the flip side, we do it, as last night, the women's basketball team led by, and we're going to get to Caitlin, but led by potentially, I think it's at this point, it is a lock, barring injury, that Caitlin Clark will go down as the best women's basketball player in college history.
In
college history, she will have the best resume as an individual when she graduates or when she is done playing.
Yeah, I mean, especially if she's got two more years. It's definitely
that's what I'm saying, and I'm thinking that
it's not crazy to say that.
I think it's guaranteed if she plays 2 years.
Yeah, I'm just trying to let's knock on all the wood in the world here.
Find me a forest.
We got another game this season. We got hopefully two more years of
Yeah, hopefully hopefully another 60 games, right? 65 yeah. games. Or no, closer to probably 70 or 75 games. Of course, that's all, who knows what happens, right? Tomorrow's never promised. Today is what we have. What we have today is a shot at a national title. I think back to that, to close that thought real quick, I think that if Caitlin simply played for one more year and did end up leaving and not taking her COVID year, I still think after next year, assuming that she doesn't, I don't know why or how she would ever drop off. And it'd be very hard to continue upping the numbers like she has through 3 years, but say she just matches any of her this year or last year, she's going to finish with the most points. She'll be the LeBron James leading point total of any individual scorer. She'll have taken her team to at least one national title.
Pretty good.
And then whatever they do next year.
Yeah. And I'm sure just because it's Iowa, people will still be like, I don't know about that.
And you're always going to have those people. But
honestly, the world needs those people too, because it keeps it more entertaining.
Well, yeah.
It's like Batman needs Joker and Joker needs Batman. We need those people around.
But I'm thinking, and we're going to go over, I pulled up a bunch of these stats that people are just finding on Caitlin, diving into her numbers and stuff. And you hear other names, Ionescu, who played for Oregon. Did she play for Oregon?
Yeah, she played for Oregon. Yeah. She was that was the COVID year though. Was when she was supposed to have this same season.
Right. I think far and away what she has the most of is triple doubles. Like, that's her thing. So I think when it comes to triple doubles lifetime in a career, she has 27 and Caitlin has 11. And then
that's a lot of triple doubles.
And then the next best person has 6 or 5. So she's on her own level. Then it's Caitlin, and then it's everybody else.
Crazy.
I imagine Caitlin will put together 5 or 8 more of those and kind of get close to that record. Who knows?
Yeah.
Scoring wise, you look at, the chick who played for Washington, I believe, Kelsey Plum.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, hold on. I'll pull it up.
Search that real quick just to make sure. I believe she played for Washington. I think that she has the best single season total for points. It's at 1,100 and some. And I believe that she is the all-time leader in points as well. She is going to pass. She might not get the individual season because I believe right now she has 1,025 points, which does set the record for Big Ten most points in a season. She has the most she just last night crossed over the threshold for most three-pointers in a season by anybody ever.
Crazy.
She is, I believe I saw that she's 9th in single season assists or career assists, one of the two, and with 4 more assists, she'll climb to 4th on that list. So that's, that's basically a guarantee with one more game here. She's climbing up every single stat that's taken, right?
Right. You're scaring me with all these G words, by the way. Throwing out all the guarantees.
Have you ever seen anything more than a guarantee?
I mean, at this point, it's It's pretty close. But I don't even want to say the G word at all until at least this season's over. We got one more game Sunday.
I get it.
And I'm just a superstitious dude. I am. You know, and I believe that's important. I believe that there's this energy in this world when it comes to sports, that it matters that as fans, we also have to be locked in to support our team. The energy goes through the screen. It's very important, right? The people here in Iowa City, it was just as important that we were energized and we were ready as it is that the team is ready. It's a team effort. It's a group effort. Everyone has to be locked in.
You just won some more people over. You've won everybody over. Everyone loves G Money, Gary, G Spot.
And maybe let this be a call out to the listeners,
to the non-believers.
The call to action. If you haven't locked in now, there's still time to lock in. All right.
Yeah, because this podcast is going to come out immediately, so they'll hear this on Saturday afternoon or Sunday.
What's that? Like there's that meme with that I can't remember who he plays for, the Atlanta Hawks or whatever. He's like, he's got just like that quote where he's like, I got one more in me. Walk on fans. We've got one more still to do. All right,
we've got one more in us.
We've got one more. It's about everyone's got to be in there. Everyone's got to be.
I will say this. I assume that you watched the entire game.
I did.
Could you feel the real energy? I'm not saying that the energy you just talked about is fake. Right. I don't know how much I believe in energy going through the screen and all of Hawkeye Nation sitting at home actually mattering in that game. But what did matter 100% was that place sounded like Kinnick Stadium.
Yeah. So I will say I was in a crowded bar for the game. So I'm not sure how much
you did not experience
the sound is on the television.
Sure.
But even then, it doesn't even matter because the people around me are loud enough that it just drains it out. But that I would believe it. The amount of tweets I saw where it was, holy cow, I had no idea how well Iowa traveled. Holy cow, there's so many Iowa fans here. I had no clue. Was remarkable. And that just makes me, if you're an Iowa fan, that's awesome to see. You're just super proud of the fan base and getting out there. I tried to get down there myself, but then it turns out when you do not have a ton of dollars to buy expensive plane tickets out of Cedar Rapids, it is very difficult to go down to Dallas.
And your employer couldn't help you out on it either, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not I'm not a beggar.
We tried. No, I get it. We get it. For those who have reached out or tweeted at us and said we need to get the walk-ons to Dallas, we need to get some like on-site podcast. You guys have absolutely no idea how much I wish I could make that happen. I wish that we were Barstool. We had those resources. We had the ability to say, holy shit, Iowa wins Sunday against Louisville. They're going to the Final Four. You have 5 days to schedule your travel and get a plane ticket. Grant and I can just hop on a plane. Fuck it. Get Drake too. Get us all to Dallas.
You have to go find Drake in a forest.
Well, yeah, we'd have to go find him in Yosemite or something. I wish nothing more that for you guys, the walk-on army, we could pick up everything, get our asses on a plane, and just go set up in Dallas and have this like live stream all week and bring in the players for podcasts and have all this sick-ass content. We just aren't there. We're just not there. And I think sometimes like some of the stuff that we do, we have reached a little bit. So we've been able to dabble. We've been able to make a trip to the Big Ten Championship and hold the – I wish you would have been a part of that, Grant. That was so sick. We had this crazy meetup outside of a bar where we like basically did a pop-up merch stand, meet and greet, pictures, autographs. It was – and we signed shit for 3 hours. Like it was wild.
Crazy.
I wish we could do that all over the place. I wish that we could have been at the Hawkeye huddle that they held down there and then gone to the game and experienced that in person. But we don't have those kinds of funds. We don't have those numbies yet. We're trying to grow. We're trying to build this thing gradually. And
I will say this. It might be better that I wasn't there too, because this past year, I think I've mentioned on here before, I have tried to not go to a lot of basketball games, because last year when I did go to basketball games, they went 0-5 when I was there. I stopped going and then went on a run. So this year I decided I'm going to take one for the team. This is that energy I was talking about where it's a team effort. The fans have to be involved. I'm going to sit at home and watch these on TV instead so that the team can succeed. I think that it was better that I wasn't there, because they we'd be talking about a different final score right now.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yes. And I think Hawkeye Nation and the team thanks you. Are you a guy, because now it strikes me, Are you a guy that on Sundays during the fall, you've got like a jersey, you're wearing a jersey, lucky jersey, or
I used to be a jersey guy. I'm not as much of a jersey guy
okay.
anymore. I was a lucky hat guy for a while, especially
Okay.
when it came to like gambling. If you know, if it hit a couple in a row, it's like, okay, this is the hat now. It's just about feeling what's good and feeling what works.
I threw a nice little, a small bet, a Kluber sized bet down late on a +540 Iowa money line last night.
Can you
And
believe that? That was criminal.
disrespectful.
Disrespectful. And what's crazy is that I think the majority of bets were on Iowa and it still worked.
They were. I saw something about that on Twitter, because I think the line moved to like 12 or 12 and a half
And
eventually.
even deep into the second quarter, we were still outright like live underdogs. I think it was like +195 in the second quarter.
I understand it too,
That's true.
because
It's because they're South Carolina.
the undefeated South Carolina,
Yeah.
right? I don't think that they had a team. I know we checked on this in the last few podcasts. I think we had you bring it up, but I think the closest we saw of anybody against them this year was maybe an 8-point game or a 10-point game. That's the closest that anybody had played them.
Right.
Even Maryland, a great team, played them in the Elite Eight and had them on the ropes early a little bit.
No, it makes sense. If you're ever going to be 11-point underdogs to a team, it's the team that has won 42 games in a row.
One of which was a national championship and are now on an undefeated streak during this season with the reigning national player of the year. And also a girl who's 8'10", by the way.
Oh yeah, they had some. It was crazy. So this year, there's been debate. It's is Zach Edey good or tall? Tallest player in one of the tallest players in Division One. How this conversation has not been about how tall the South Carolina women are is insane. Now, I think that the South Carolina women are definitely a more successful, more skilled team than Purdue men's basketball.
Yeah.
They just definitely are. They were undefeated in the Final Four. But it's
Relative.
also
Yeah.
after you watch this game and you see how where Iowa just basically made them play
Dude, they
Iowa's
didn't
game.
guard one of the chicks all game.
That was laugh out loud funny.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen
Laugh
in
out loud
sports,
funny.
Grant.
Could you imagine if only like in like the Big Ten championship, you guys are playing Michigan State, highly ranked team, and you just didn't guard like their slot receiver? Because you just knew, you were so prepared, you were so well coached, you knew that they just weren't going to do anything about it. Could you imagine on national TV, there's millions of people watching this? I can't imagine what that's like as a player, too. I would just be shell shocked.
I was
Even if I
thinking.
was a good 3-point shooter, that could have been Steph Curry out there on the court. And then they're just sagging in all the way to the paint. When I'm wide open at three in the Final Four, remember, of an undefeated team,
One of the biggest games in your career?
I'd be like, what is going on here? Or is the
Well,
game
that
stop?
has to fuck with your head,
And
right?
I think that's honestly, not to take any credit away from the game plan, I'm sure there was a lot of thought in saying specifically
There
how these
was.
players will be guarded. Honestly, maybe half of it might just be, you know what? Let's see what happens if we just leave them open. Maybe it messes with them. Maybe
Well,
that's just
here's the
Grant's dumb
thing.
brain, but.
There's a lot. So I'm sure there's a lot of analytics that go into this. It's 2023, and analytics are a part of every sport. Lisa Bluter and her staff are fucking elite. I think they proved that last night. Lisa Bluter coached Dawn Staley off the planet.
It was very impressive. They were in a chess match and it was dominant.
Bluter was six moves ahead.
Crazy.
And they mentioned Kate Martin talked about it a little bit after the game, I believe, and about their strategy to just simply leave an entire player wide open for the majority of the game. And she said something along the lines of, like, there's some statistics on that. Like, if you are not in rhythm and it doesn't feel like I know a lot of you who are playing or who are listening haven't played basketball in a really long time, but imagine if you did. Most of the time when you're shooting, there is some form of like, oh, there's somebody on me.
Yeah.
right? That's a part of my vision field. It's a part of my timing. It's a part of how quickly I get my shot off. It is the normal. So when you back somebody off and essentially say, hey, you on offense are going to play 1-on-0 if you want in a game that counts, the time is ticking. If you make the shot, it goes on the scoreboard. It now starts to fuck with your head to where when you that point guard is standing up there just alone trying to set up their offense with nobody on her, and she's thinking in her head, do I just shoot this? Or
yeah, it's like this, well, at the bare minimum, we game plan for at least someone to guard me.
Right.
We did not anticipate the no guard.
So when you literally could, if you want, stop and like approach it if you wanted to, like a free throw where no one was and they're still not going to come get you, that messes with your timing, your rhythm, the bounce in your step, your dribble. She also is thinking like, am I that fucking bad? Am I that?
Oh, yeah. It's like, wait, why is no one guarding me? Did no one tell me?
And granted, she overperformed. Granted, that's probably what's going to happen if you don't guard somebody. She's a 21% three-point shooter on the year. She makes 1 out of 5. Last night, she made 3 out of 7, I believe. Raven Johnson was her name. Yeah. And there was a couple that hit in a five-minute stretch where it was like, oh, fuck, are we going to have to guard her? Like,
she was knocking them down eventually.
Yeah.
To her credit.
And, but they kept, you know, they did kind of reach a girl out there at that point and tried. But you're playing the statistics of going back to what you just said with Zach Edey. Is South Carolina good or are they tall?
Yeah. Right? I mean, I saw some people on Twitter were saying that it was just like flat out there, just like if this team was 3 inches shorter, they would not be as good. And like, I think there are very skilled players on South Carolina. Like that's
100%.
That's crazy. Like they're a very good team.
The
like,
Cook girl is elite.
Yeah. Like they're an insanely talented team. There's a reason they were 42-0, but also at the same time too, like it showed that they definitely, I mean, and I'm not an expert, but like, it seemed like they definitely relied on it. Like, I mean, it seemed like a big part of their game plan was just, hey, you know, we're so much bigger. It shouldn't even matter.
Right. I think that's where they got caught. And I think you could see it in their eyes from the start of the game where, first of all, Iowa jumped on them, right? They came out run and gun. You're playing undefeated South Carolina. You've been told that you can't beat them. You're a 12-point underdog. And Iowa comes out run and gunning, like pushing the pace, pushing the tempo. South Carolina gets a bucket and it's already inbounded to half court and they are running. Like they were not scared.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't think that anybody had attacked South Carolina all season.
No, for sure.
Like that. And I think that was like, they were like, oh shit, we're not invincible here. Like,
yeah, no, they did the best thing you can do when you're playing a highly rated team. And that's just play unscared and play, just play freely. And you see that when you see these marquee upsets, especially in the men's side of the bracket, like Princeton just went out there and was like, what if we just shot 8 threes and made all of them? Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works, especially in March. Right. Or I guess now it's April, but, or no, the game was in March. So yes, it does work in March. So, that works sometimes. And I was definitely better than, Princeton beating Arizona. Right. But
sure.
I think that there's, like, I was 11, you're 11 point underdogs. You haven't been in the Final Four in 30 years. You have the best point in the country on your team. Why not just go out there and play and be fearless? And that's exactly what they did. I have one rule in life.
Yeah.
And it's never fight a man with nothing to lose. South Carolina fought a bunch of women with nothing to lose. And it didn't go too well.
Yeah. Which is looking ahead, and we're not going to do too much preview in this episode, just because I don't think you want a stat by stat matchup preview between from Grant and I on
LSU. I just don't know I don't know enough to give them that preview.
I know a little bit.
I'm a moron. I have no
I know clue. A little bit, like the average layman viewer's knowledge about LSU, but I wish that we were underdogs in this game.
That's every game Iowa plays. I want them to be 30-point underdogs.
Right.
And any sport ever.
Any sport.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think we opened as like a 1.5 or 2 point favorite, and it's been pushed to 3 or 4. Three.
Yeah.
So,
which is,
now,
that's
granted,
that's good though. You want to see that. if you're in terms of like a gambling perspective, that's good to see.
I think that it's a correct. I think if I would have been matched up against LSU in the semis, like if the games would have been switched and it would have been Virginia Tech versus South Carolina and us versus LSU, I think there's a chance we might have been underdogs. But now after last night and what they saw them do to South Carolina, I think it was a situation where it's like, oh, the books went in and adjusted their algorithm a little bit. We're going to respect Iowa a little bit.
I 100% agree with that. I think that that's true.
I also don't think that underdogs, like I view this as a pick'em matchup.
Yeah, it's the national championship.
It's a national championship between two really good, very talented teams.
Yeah.
And I don't think, not that men really play into it either, but I don't think there's a single girl on that team that like in pregame warmups is going to be like, hell yeah, we're 3-point favorites in this one. Like, you know,
I think a lot of times the Iowa athletic departments do a really good job with not letting their athletes kind of see the noise. And like, I certainly hope not that there's any Iowa women's players with the FanDuel app pulled up looking for early lines. I certainly hope not. But
Caitlin's sitting in the locker room, like, I wonder what my prop bets are in this one.
Yeah, I could honestly see with Caitlin though, just from what I've only seen from like interviews and like her personality and stuff. I could see her going on like Twitter and being like 11-point underdogs, really. Okay. Like, I could see that in terms of that knowledge, but I don't think any of them are being like, oh shoot, we're three, so like we should be good, guys. Like, it's like everyone believe like we got it. I think that no matter what, going into a game against LSU with also a incredible, like, Angel Reese is up there in the same tier with Aaliyah Boston, and
I would put her, like, I would actually,
she's incredible.
After watching Boston last night, I would actually say she might be better. If not, they are very, very close. I don't think there's some wide gap that you could really determine like one is clearly better than the other. Again, are they good or are they tall? I think they are good, but they aren't as super elite, talented, skilled as they appear to be because they are so much taller. I watched the same thing with Angel Reese that I watched with Boston and that other girl. I wish I could remember her name, that number 10 for South Carolina, who's 7 feet tall. I think she's actually 6'7".
Crazy.
They're so tall, and granted, they've gotten really good at positioning themselves as well, especially against what Iowa threw at them. There was two or three girls boxing out each one of them when they were in the game, and defending them the entire game. But there's just like, over the back is not a thing when you're that tall, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's hard. It's interesting to call it when you have someone who's, I mean, there's a lot of, what's the average height of the Iowa girls? Like 6 foot, maybe?
I would, yeah, generously. If you add in Sinano, I think Warnock is definitely 6 feet or taller. Caitlin's 6 feet.
Yeah.
Sinano's maybe, I think I looked 6'3".
Let's give them 6 feet anyway. A seven inch difference is huge. If I'm a ref, like that's an incredibly difficult spot to do to be put in that situation with over the back. It's like, well, technically everything's going to be over the back.
Sure.
If she just gets a rebound.
There was several times where she did just do the old, I'm bigger than you, I'm going to grab it before it gets to your hands and then put it back up. But 25 offensive rebounds, dude, at least 8 of those, there was body contact coming down on the woman in front of her. I mean, at one point Warnock got tossed to the ground. I mean, there's this whole narrative and people are posting it in the Discord about like they're pissed because Bluter said something about them or this game being a bar fight, and like people are mad because they want to be mad and they want to find something to be pissed about, like that they're being called thugs or something. But it was a bar fight. I mean, that was a battle. It was
Sunday Night Smackdown under the rim for rebounds.
And I think that, and maybe I'm biased, but I try not to be, and I think I see things pretty fairly. I think if it got called one way or another, I think South Carolina got away with more than Iowa did in that game.
It seemed like, and again, yeah, I think we're definitely biased, but I feel like I saw people on Twitter from neutral parties saying that it was like Definitely. I mean, Brandon Walker is the biggest Iowa hater of all time.
Yeah.
And he was tweeting about it. He was like, the refs aren't even pretending. They're not even pretending right now. Like, this is crazy. So that's usually a good scale for how it's going. So,
yeah. Caitlin, like I said, I mentioned all of those things about Caitlin. You know, she's got these you go into these like crazy pseudo stats of like, you know, she scored 150 and has 60 assists in the tournament or 50 assists in the tournament. And no one ever has done that.
I just loved all night. I just scrolled through Twitter and it was just a new post of, oh, Caitlin's the first to have this stat and this stat and this stat. Oh, it's like the first time this has ever happened in this game. I mean, if you're working in the ESPN graphics department, you're like, your fingers have just got to be destroyed by now. You've been up all night. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. You've been up all night, probably working. It's crazy stuff, but I love seeing it. And like, I don't know if we are like I'm sure there's a lot of them are like, oh, this is like the first time that in two back-to-back games and like kind of like specific stuff, but I don't care. It's fun. I want to see Caitlin have all of the stats. I want to see the whole there's that ESPN stat account. I want it all to be Caitlin because it's fun. Okay.
Yeah.
It's fun to see cool stats.
I do agree. You touched on something that I think is hilarious in sports where you'll see like some baseball stat come out and what it sounds like when you read it is, well, on a Thursday that was greater than 70 degrees on the west side of the United States when they were serving hot dogs for less than $4.50 in the third inning or longer when there was two strikes and the sun was in this position, he's the first guy ever to hit a home run.
Yeah.
And,
or like, what's that Penn State graphic they have where it's like a Penn State player has played in every Super Bowl in big
and then really small.
And then on the bottom it says except for three.
Yeah, except for three. Like, what a fucking
is that
graphics
real,
team.
By the way? Like,
that was a real graphic.
Quick timeout from post game pod. Is that real? Between
the graphic
between
or the stat?
The graphic. Is that
the real? Graphic was 100% real and posted. Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
we can resume. I didn't know. But and that's not to say though that like all of Caitlin Clark's stats are like that where they're digging for stuff.
They aren't. I was making a point of like how there is some funny shit out there, but most of Caitlin's are like not too sectored out like that where it's like there's just a couple criteria here and she's the best. Like I have it pulled up on Twitter. I just typed in Caitlin Clark stat and then hit latest tweets and there's a whole thread of it. Last night, I believe, for just this game, she scored or assisted on 75% of the points for Iowa. And I think that's...
Which then there's a stat where it's like kind of going off of that one, where it was like that there's only been... that there's like six instances of that happening in back-to-back games, and she's five of them.
Yeah, yep. There was one that was so many points, so many rebounds, so many whatever... in a six game stretch, it's like 20 points or 25 points, five rebounds, five assists or something. And it's only been done where a person has had 25, five and five, six games in a row. It's only been done six times or maybe four games in a row. And all six times were her. Like, she is the only person to ever have back-to-back 40 point games in tournament history. She is the troll stat.
These are borderline like crazy Wayne Gretzky, Tiger Woods stats that you see on Twitter every once in a while. And you're like, that, how's that real?
They are stats that you would get. Like if you created a player on like Madden and just, you know, juiced your stats.
And I want to make a point on this, which is so incredible about what Caitlin has done this season, is that usually when you have players like this that are putting up 30-point triple-doubles, 40-point games, especially in college, even when they're regarded as the best player, usually they have a spot where it doesn't work. It doesn't happen where it's like, especially in the tournament, you see with Alabama, Brandon Miller had like he went 3 of 17 shooting and lost, right? It happens. And once again, I'm going to knock on a whole forest for the rest of Saturday, knocking on wood. But so far, Caitlin is, she's had expectations and surpassed them. It feels like every single game in March.
Yeah. I felt the same. I kind of was worried about it going into this game after she just went and blew the roof off of Louisville. I thought to myself, like, fuck, man.
Is this
the game where up against like Boston and the big dogs, like, is this the one where Caitlin goes for like 16 points and we just don't have it? And then I'm sitting there in the third quarter. First of all, she scores like 19. I think at halftime it was 38, whatever, and she had 19, so she had half the points. And I thought to myself, at least up until this point, again, knocking on your forest of trees, in women's basketball, there doesn't seem to be, because she didn't shoot well last night, particularly.
They did a real good job closing out on her from the perimeter. Yes. They didn't want her having the ball, and they weren't going to let her shoot easy threes.
And they did a really, really good job of just staying in her pocket, right? And so there wasn't a lot of space in general.
Yeah.
I believe she was 5 of 17 from 3. And you could see several times. And again, there was a couple that were in and out. Really unfortunate. But I would say, no, you're good. As a team, Iowa did not shoot well from 3. You know, Gabby Marshall had 0 points. She didn't score.
Yeah.
Warnock and Marshall have been a large part of Iowa's success through the tournament, really this entire year, because they are snipers. They can light it up. Together, they combined for 5 points. And I believe Warnock had one or two. No, just 1-3. They had 1-3 between the two of them. Caitlin was 5 of 17. That's less than 30%. I mean, these aren't good stats. So you look at it from South Carolina's side and you're like, we held them. Like we forced them not to make threes, but you got to see a new part of Caitlin's game where she was attacking the basket. She was attacking the bigs when they would have to switch up on her. You got to see Gabby Marshall be important in a – and she's been the defensive player. She's the defensive specialist on their team. She followed around Zaya Cook like she had $1 million and she was trying to get some. I tweeted about it. She ran absolute max change of direction agility sprints intervals for 2 hours. And I'm pretty sure got really banged up from it and was probably the key to the game.
You need players like that, though. Those are critical. You need
scored. She scored 0 points. She played every minute of the game. I think she played 39 out of 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And dogged their girl on offense as much as she could, was there getting steals, tips, giving all out effort. Yeah.
No, her and Warnock were going to war. They're putting the body on the line.
War.
And it was awesome to see.
This matchup was also a beautiful representation of how a team uses their fouls. They spread out all the fouls on their team, not necessarily on purpose, but I think Warnock finished with 4. Martin had 3 or 4. Sonano finished with 4. Stolke had 4. Clark had 2 or 3. Gabby Marshall had 3 or 4. It was like they spread them thin as much as they could without getting players fouled out of the game. And that did become a factor. Both Sonano and Boston had to sit like at the same time at one point in the game because they were in foul trouble with 3.
Right. I thought Sonano was going to foul out for sure.
I was worried.
She had 4 with a lot of change left in the third, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was scary. I just think you got to see them win in a new way.
Oh yeah.
Against a team that you probably don't want to have to find a new way to win against, right? You'd like to
know against the number one team in undefeated South Carolina. I would like to be able to do our normal game plan.
Right. Like let's make all of our threes like we normally do, and that'll help things out. But they didn't.
I think the game started out with even South Carolina, we were just thrown up. Both teams just threw up like 6 bricks in a row.
Well, and there's something to it like, hey, holy shit, this is the Final Four. Like,
oh, definitely a little nervous. And by the way, the mics in this game were turned up to about 1,000. It felt like every time something touched the rim, it was shaking the TV.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I forgot to mention the troll stat of the day was that this game.
What's I don't do it.
Through 5 games, Caitlin has 100 or is it in the postseason? I think it's in the postseason. Caitlin has 235 points, which is 5 more points than Iowa football scored all of last season.
I don't know what – how does – it's crazy how we just never escape. Like, and it's – why does everyone – I don't understand why Iowa football is on everyone's mind so much outside of, like, Iowa fans or Big Ten fans. Yeah. It's crazy. Which, I don't know. I mean – like, it's like, whatever, but it's also, it's crazy when, like, I'm just celebrating. I'm like, yes, we did it. We're going to the national championship. And I go on my phone and it's like still ripping on Iowa football. I was like, guys, can you not let us have one thing?
It's the internet.
Can you
it's
let us internet. Celebrate this?
I
don't know. We can't have anything nice on the internet.
And kind of moving into that to close this thing up here. When we won the game the other day against Louisville, it was like, oh my God, we did it. Right. We did it. We got to the there's this finality to the tournament where if you can make a Sweet 16 for the first time in however many years, your program, your fan base, it feels like you've accomplished something. But you have this weird thing of like, okay, we're here now, though. No reason to rest on the laurels. And like, we have one game. We're in the game. It's 0-0 when that ball tips. We have a chance to do it again, get to the next spot. And what it felt like against Louisville was, oh my God, we did it. We got to the Final Four. First one in 30 years. Now we just won this last night. And it's like, holy shit, we did it. We took down Goliath. Like, we made it to the championship. And it almost feels like you're putting on the back burner,
there's one more game.
Like, there is a winner of this whole turn. Like, let's go win the whole motherfucker and just tear down the Nets.
Yeah. At this point, I mean, we've already done so much. Why not just win the whole thing at this point?
And all you have, and you know, all bodily fatigue aside of the players on that team who are going to have to go in, and I guarantee that team is hurting today. Like Gabby Marshall, Warnock, Caitlin, they are tired and they are beat today. And I guarantee that that staff and themselves, they're doing everything they can to feel fresh at 2:30 p.m. tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
But all things considered, like, you have a one game season right now. You have one game, and that game happens to be for the national title. LSU had to play 5 games to get here. They're probably beat up, sore a little bit.
Oh yeah, their game came down to the wire too.
And I saw, and I think we go back to what you said earlier in this episode, and it's, hey, why not, and they're kind of rolling on this too, why not us, right? We have the best player in the country. We're a Big Ten champion. We just knocked off the number one undefeated team. Let's go. Let's just go play free. Let's just go play. And like, we can do this. Like, this thing is doable. We're a favorite in a national title game. Like, let's go win the damn thing. And it's really, really cool to see the ascension of, first of all, Caitlin Clark has entered max velocity. She is in the stratosphere. If anybody important tweeted about that game, it was about her. Just like name a famous person, they've tweeted about Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
It is wild to see her and for Iowa to be on the national stage. It makes you really proud to be associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. It just feels like watching that game last night. I texted my best friend from high school this. I don't know if I've wanted Iowa to win a game that bad in any sport since probably the last few seconds of the Michigan game in 2016 when we kicked the field goal to beat them. Right. Okay. But before that,
Makes sense.
I didn't know if we were going to be in it, right? So I don't think I felt that for the entire game. Probably since the Stanford Rose Bowl, like, I want to win this Rose Bowl. And then, you know, the game before that in the Big Ten Championship, I obviously wanted that one very badly. Mm-hmm. Other than those two games, those back-to-back games in 2015, I don't think I've ever wanted something so bad. And I was nervous. My heart rate was high as hell. Mm-hmm. I was sweating. I was more audibly involved than normal in sports games.
That's what, like, I'm saying. The fans matter.
And I just wanted it so bad for them, dude.
There you go.
And man, when they – that's a feeling.
That's a great feeling as a fan, though, when you feel like – when you're, like, exhausted from watching a game. Like, you just feel like you just gave it good 40 minutes.
Right. And I think part of it for me, too, is I've been in some of those matchups. I don't think I was ever in a matchup that big. Maybe the Michigan State game in 20 for the Big Ten Championship.
It was 3-4, wasn't it?
It was pretty highly up there, but this
or 3-5, it was something.
This was like, Final Four to go to the Natty is call it. It's basically a semifinal. Like
it had so much leading up to it too. I mean, you had the current Player of the Year and last year's Player of the Year, undefeated team, like undefeated South Carolina in it. Like it was, I can't like outside of Iowa playing Penn State in 2021. Was crazy, but like as I've been on campus, there I don't know if there's been as much anticipation over a game as this.
That's what I'm saying. I know what it's like as an athlete to be so close to something so hard to achieve, and as someone who did not achieve it, I sat on that bench. As Michigan State drove the field in 2015, I was, as a long snapper, you're pretty useless all the time, but you just watch them play by play, another set of downs, another first down, fuck here. Now they're in field goal range. Like they're driving this thing. They're going to go score. And he reaches the ball over the goal line and it's just like, fuck. And what they felt on the other sideline was what we got to feel last night.
Yeah.
And that to be a part of it, it's just fucking cool, man. It's really cool.
Sports are so cool.
Sports are great.
How cool are sports, man?
But that's the thing is I'm not really a sports fan. I've said it a million times now. I don't have an NBA team. I don't have an NFL team. If I didn't play for Iowa, I'm not sure I'd have a college team. Like I am a very average sports fan. But something about this team and something about taking down the undefeated number one, it just like it lit a fire in me, and man, like what a time. So,
can I share my favorite part of this?
Absolutely, go for it.
I love that on Twitter. I'm unhealthily addicted to Twitter. I'm on it way too much.
Nice.
Some of you are addicted to TikTok. I'm addicted to Twitter. All I've read all season is how if South Carolina saying. Okay, yeah, it's against these Big Ten teams. It's against whoever, even Louisville. Good team, Louisville. Oh. If we play Kalen. You think Kalen's going to have 40 points, 30 points against Aaliyah Boston in South Carolina? No way. And she goes out there after all this stuff and does it anyway. And it's awesome. And it kind of, if you listen to the Jack Campbell interview we did, he talks about how he loves going out there and seeing Iowa players. Cause there's this thing with Iowa where it's like, it's in a cornfield. It's, there's nothing going on there. It's no matter how good an Iowa team is or how good the players are, it always kind of feels like it's like, oh, well, if it's got the Iowa name on it, how good really is it, right? Mm. So, and I'm not even from Iowa like Jack, where he says like he likes seeing like Iowa because he's from Iowa, he likes it. It's just so awesome to see like anyone in the Iowa brand succeed like that, because there is that kind of weird. It's a weird thing with Iowa where people are like, oh, like it's hard to believe sometimes. If you're not an Iowa fan, sometimes the national family has trouble believing that Iowa players are good.
Yeah.
And that Iowa teams can be good sometimes.
And I think what's hurt that those narratives of like, okay, we've got a player who's really good, and then people always fall back on, well, how did their team do? Like how far did they get? Who did they play? Right.
Yeah.
And that was what we dealt with in 2015 the entire year. It's like, well, I mean, come on, look at their schedule, right? There was articles written after that Michigan State championship game about how the national media gained more respect after that one loss than they did for 12 wins that we had put together before that for our team, because we finally played somebody and we proved that we could go toe to toe all the way to the wire.
Right.
And we lost. And then we went and backed it up with a abysmal performance that made it look like we were frauds to the national college football world.
Yeah.
Luka, Keegan, you know, recently on the men's side of the basketball, it's like, well, they've been great, but Iowa can't even get to the fucking round of 32. Right. Yeah. And
I think a lot of this is, though, I will say, I say that, and I think that there is a chance that that is going to slowly change because, like, A, this team is in the national championship.
Yeah.
And B, that Caitlin Clark is the most talked about player in college sports right now.
Men or women.
Honestly, I can't remember outside of, like, Lamar Jackson during his Heisman year, maybe
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, or Cam Newton, a time where a college athlete was you cannot open your phone and not see something about them, some crazy stats, some highlights. Like, this is a rare comparison.
Lamar or Johnny Manziel's Heisman years remind me so much of the external social media reaction and conversation around Caitlin. It is so similar.
Single
player, they have captivated an entire nation who is interested in sports.
Yeah.
I agree with you that this Iowa basketball team, by making a Final Four and having Caitlin for probably the next 2 years, and find the woods, knock on all those trees. It's pretty likely that this team goes to two more Sweet 16s at minimum.
Jeez, I'm gonna spend all day in a forest.
Yeah, you have to go.
This is you might have to just scrub all of this because we just talked about we're at 52 minutes now, but we just talked about how it's important the fans and we got to be locked in.
I'm the least locked in there. You could be.
We need to go as fans, go knock on every piece of wood now after recording this podcast. But I mean,
you know what I'm getting at, though. Like in women's basketball. Well, hell, this year it was the first time since 2009 that a one seed had not made the Sweet 16. Right. Wow. The variance and volatility of women's basketball, it just isn't quite there. There's not as many at the high level, so tournaments don't see as much volatility and crazy upsets that the men's side does, like this year especially. And with Caitlin, and this a lot of this team comes back. Like Warnock is leaving, she's going to go to dental school. Sinano graduates, but
well, think about what this does for recruiting anyway. Let's say, like, dude, we're losing players, sure, but having the marquee player, not just in women's basketball but in college sports right now
for two on your years campus, probably
for most likely two more years, is massive for the seniors right now, juniors right now, girls playing high school ball. That's where do you want to go? Like, I'm sure UConn, Mississippi State, South Carolina are all on that list. Sure, still Stanford, but Iowa now is like a very serious, like, oh, if I'm a good player, like, and I want to be the marquee player in sports, you have a chance to do that at Iowa.
And not only that, but I think this elevates what Gustafson did, and you weren't around then and maybe not following Iowa women's basketball as closely. I mean,
it was 2019. It wasn't that.
Yeah, it was 4 or 5 years ago. But what they did, I mean, they made an Elite Eight.
And what's crazy is I thought that was the team. And they were insanely good, but I thought it was like, this is our chance. This is our only chance.
Well, and I think everybody was, because it was the first time since 1993 that we had something special. And it was like, oh my God, we have the National Player of the Year. And I think maybe the difference, and it's a common theme with people in conversation around the tournament, is when you get to tournament time, it is a guards game. It is a guards game, both men and women's. And maybe that game last night was all the more proof you need. But I had this conversation on Twitter with a couple people. What Iowa women have done to make the Final Four, up, you know, do what they did last night, upset the number one team, it has elevated the brand of Iowa women's basketball into, depending on what they can do in the next 2 to 3 years with Caitlin and whoever they can bring in for recruits, you know, in the next half decade after this, they have a chance as women's basketball itself elevates as a more important game in the sports world with more eyes and more people talking about it. Iowa has a chance to establish themselves as a blue blood in Iowa women's in women's basketball. and there is not a lot of sports that are still establishing themselves and they're and are going through these weird elevations of like, hey, there's still room to be, you know, in college football, the blue blood,
the barriers of entry are incredibly high for
if you are not Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Penn State, Alabama, you know, name a few others. Like, Iowa is never going to be a blue blood in football. It might, maybe, if the world's around for another 400 years and college football is as well, maybe somehow they do after a few centuries of work. But Iowa women's basketball has a chance to establish themselves as a consistent top five team in the next 5 to 10 years here. And like you said, if you're a high school recruit, there is if Iowa wants to recruit a high school basketball player, women's basketball player, they can probably get every single recruit in the country to take a visit if they want.
Yeah. And especially on the sense of NIL too. Caitlin is doing, and this is being modest, pretty nice. Okay. All right. It's no secret. Yeah. She's doing pretty well. Okay. And a lot of times it's the case with NIL where girls have, they're not getting as much of the NIL money. It's just the case.
Yep.
Where, and then you can come show at Iowa, like, look at what our girls are capable, what they're doing. Like, if you're showing recruits, I don't know. I think it's crazy.
I think that it's going to be extremely fun to watch what this does for a program as far as recruiting and how they're thought about in the overall game. But there's one more.
There is one more. It's going to be I'm going to be locked in.
Lock
in. Do my part as a fan.
Everybody listen to G-Money here and do your part, right? Lock in.
It's a group effort. It's a group effort from all of us.
I said to Grant that this was going to be a 20-minute podcast. We went for an hour because I think it was that exciting. I think there was that much to talk about. I hope that you guys got to relive and kindle this ongoing excitement for this weekend as you listen to us. And I really hope it won't be on Monday because that one's already scheduled. Although, listen to Monday's podcast. It's kind of funny and wild. I hope that we can record a podcast, a recap, talking about a Hawkeye Women's National Championship.
We might have to do another extra one.
We probably will. Like Monday or Tuesday night. Whatever works. That's it for the intern, Gary, and myself. Episode 408, the emergency natty pod from the Washed Up Walk-Ons. We will see you guys next week. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.